So this morning, we're talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And what does that mean? What does the Bible talk about it? And how do we understand this? And I come to you this morning not as a from a Pentecostal tradition. I grew up not Pentecostal. I actually grew up Baptist. Do I have any other Baptists in the room? Okay, I see. Wow, that is so un-Baptist right there. That was like a Pentecostal response. That's a Bapticostal, right? Okay. Yes, and my family, my dad's side was Methodist. Are there any Methodists or Lutherans in the house? You guys are... Yeah, that's the Lutherans. What about people who grew up in charismatic traditions? Woo! Yeah? Yeah? Or Pentecostal? How many of you know the difference between charismatic and Pentecostal? That's okay. That's not today. We'll talk about that some other time. But I grew up Baptist, and I want to tell you a little bit about why that's important is because I came into what we would call a classical Pentecostal theology or four squares, kind of its own breed, but not by birth, not by tradition, but by honest reflection and study, and honestly looking at it. So that's why I am talking to you this morning. So we're going to be talking about what we believe from the Holy Spirit. So I've been on both sides now of this. And so I want to share with you today at some point about my journey and my testimony and all this. So that'll help hopefully to connect some dots for you. Also, this is going to be one of those messages that I feel is important to come back to. You might want to like listen to this again later because you might pick up some things, but there's going to be kind of a lot this morning that we're going to be unpacking. First of all, the Holy Spirit isn't weird. Okay? We're going to start off with that because the Holy Spirit isn't weird. People are weird. Right, and maybe you've seen what you would call weird, but that's not the Holy Spirit. Right, sometimes it's like the Holy Spirit is moving, and the Holy Spirit stops, but the flesh just keeps going, and maybe you've seen that, and things that just doesn't seem, it seems off. And what I want to tell you about something is with Holy Spirit, and there's a genuine move of the Holy Spirit. There is an internal witness that says, yes, this is right. Okay. It doesn't repulse. In fact, it draws you in. I want more of what that is. That's important. I want to give you an example from my life. So I went to Bible college. My parents, they sent me to a Baptist Bible college. But they didn't know that in the time that they went to that same Bible college, so did my grandparents, by the way, it had changed, and it was now independent Pentecostal, right? And so I come in there, and of course, I was convinced I was going to correct their theology. I wrote, at the time, what I thought was some of the most convincing papers and arguments for the cessation of the Holy Spirit, right, at work. And little did I know the growth that I would do. But there was an experience that I had, And it was with a guy, and this is what made it feel odd. So he would walk around whenever there was worship, and he did what I called, I don't know if anyone calls it something different, I call it the holy crunches. Holy Spirit, like this, oh, I guess. And I want you to hear something, because I want to be very careful here. I am not mocking the Holy Spirit. But there was something that was very other that I was observing. It was like the flesh went a little bit further, because inside of me, I was like, oh, something's not right, you know, and during worship, he would be holy crunching, and as soon as it came time for the word, he couldn't pay attention, and I was like, it doesn't fit, and so I'm this good Baptist boy. In this, by the time that I met my wife, it had become now Foursquare, but it was interesting, because in the time that I went to Bible college the first year, to when I went back 4 years later, it had changed from independent Pentecostal to Foursquare. When I came back, I was like, there's something different here. And I wanted more of it. And I met my wife. One day we were in chapel and we were worshiping. And we're worshiping, and all of a sudden, my wife starts speaking in tongues. And I grew up thinking, if you spoke in tongues, you were from the devil. That was my tradition. And what should have been like, oh my goodness, I'm dating the wrong person, I'm out. There was actually something. There was something in me that said, this is right. There was this, it was beautiful. It didn't weird me out. I was like, oh, this is right. I want to know what that is. Because this other guy had something that didn't feel right, but this felt right. So we're going to unpack. Who is the Holy Spirit? First of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a thing. It's not an it. The Holy Spirit. Now, the word for spirit is the same word for wind, pneuma. So it's kind of weird. Holy wind. That sounds funny, right? And then, of course, all through the New Testament, if you read, you'll see pictures of the Holy Spirit. Like, there's a dove, there's oil, right? Water, different pictures of the Holy Spirit. And there are all these inanimate objects. But the Holy Spirit is not inanimate. He is a person, which means he wants a relationship. And he wants a personal relationship. And he is the third member of the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? As a Baptist boy growing up, I was like, I'm good with Holy God of the Father. I get that. I have a good dad. It's cool. And I'm good with the Son, right? Jesus, he's a cool guy. And then there was like this other. I was like, I'd be fine if we just had the first two. Right? Because I didn't understand. But the Holy Spirit is a person who wants a personal relationship. And it's beautiful because Jesus actually promised that he would give us the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 15, verse 26, and we have this verse for you on the screen, Jesus says, but I will send you the advocate. That's the name he's giving for the Holy Spirit. In another translation, it says the counselor, the Spirit of truth. And he will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. The role of the Holy Spirit is to point to Jesus, to draw us to Jesus, to know more about Jesus, to live like him. And the next verse is in John next chapter, John 16:7. He says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. These are Jesus' words. Jesus, with his disciples, says to them, it is better for you that I go away. Jesus is saying that. It is better that I go so I can send the Holy Spirit to be with you. See, in the Old Testament, we knew God was the God who was out there, the transcendent God. And then God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world, Jesus. Emmanuel, the word Emmanuel, God with us. So he went from the God out there to God with us. Then he says, when I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit who will be within you. The God out there became the God with us, who became the God who was within us to indwell the believers. The Holy Spirit is the God who is within us. So what's his role? So I have a graphic that I created this week, which I think is really cool, and I hope it'll help you understand. So this is the next one. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. So I know you're going to be like want to read everything. We're going to walk through it one at a time. The first thing, the role of the Holy Spirit is, whether you knew this or not, before you were even born, the Holy Spirit was with you. And he was drawing you to the Father. He was drawing you to Jesus, to a place where you would come to know that you needed him. That's his role. All the way through your life, he's calling you, and he's prompting you and drawing you and telling you that you need a Savior. And he's bringing us to that point of salvation. That point of salvation, we come and we bow before him, and we just say, Jesus, I want you. Right? That moment of salvation. And that is that moment we call conversion, where we go from the old to being born again. And the Holy Spirit at that moment comes and indwells us. And he is with us, and he lives in us. And the Bible talks about being baptized into the body, different than the baptism with the Holy Spirit. But we're baptized into the body. In other words, he brings us into the family of God. He marks us and seals us, like that stamp of, this person is mine. He is bought with a price. That is part of the Holy Spirit's job. And then when we get to that point where we're saved, then the next part of what the Holy Spirit does is that he teaches us. It's like we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. We go from conversion to sitting and learning who Jesus is, what he's all about, right? And we begin to hunger for the Bible, to read it and understand and just be able to grow in more and more like Jesus. And then the next step is to walk. And so the Holy Spirit teaches us what it means to live out the Christian faith, to walk it out, the fruit of the Spirit, following Jesus, to serve in our gifts, and we grow and we mature. And that is the role of the Holy Spirit in us. But then there comes a point where we hunger for more. I want more of what he has for us, to be moved and empowered by the Holy Spirit as a result of a growing hunger. It is not a result of being mature. It is not the result of being growing to a point where you need to go to the next level of Christianity. It is not an elite. It is not like for to be a better Christian. It's not something that you earn. It is a free gift when you want it. And that's what the baptism with the Holy Spirit is. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is an empowerment. It's an enabling by the Spirit. It moves from, in the first three, the Spirit-assisted living to Spirit-empowered living, right? It's moving from being able to do things in our natural with the Holy Spirit's aid to being able to do the supernatural, to do the things that we can't do on our own. Jesus promised something in John chapter 14, so it's the same book, 14 verse 12. He says, "You will do all the same works that I have done, and even greater things than these." That's crazy. Jesus said, "You will do all the things that I have done, but even greater things than these." So what kind of things did Jesus do? Think about it. What did Jesus do? He preached the gospel with authority and understanding. Right? He spoke for the Father what he heard the Father saying. He healed the sick. Right? He raised the dead. He did miracles. Jesus said, "You will do all the same things that I have done and even greater things than these." So, these are the things that we can do with the power of the Holy Spirit. Things like give prophetic words, pray for healing for the sick, praying by revelation, casting out demons, speaking in tongues, giving a word in tongues, interpretation. But all of these things are beyond our natural ability. We can't do it in our own flesh and our own strength. The Holy Spirit gives us a supernatural ability. So what is it all for? The baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues are not the same thing. And I emphasize that because for a long time I was confused as I grew up. In fact, so often when people come to me and say, "Hey, would you pray for me for the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" What they're actually asking is, "Can you pray for me so I can be released in speaking in tongues?" But they are not the same thing. Acts 1:8 tells us what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If you were here last week, that's what we were talking about. This is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Right? That is what Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to do, was to further the mission, to preach the gospel with power, so that the whole world would hear the whole gospel. And the Holy Spirit is given so that you can be a missionary, right? So that you can share with boldness and that the gospel would be received with power. That's Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out. And I'm not going to read it, so I'll just, you can go home and read it. And it's a great chapter, but I want to summarize it. So all of the disciples were just sitting together. They were praying, like this room, 120 of us, sitting together, praying, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind with tongues of fire that rested on each person. They began to speak in a language that they had not learned. And then they moved out into the streets. And oftentimes when we think about this Acts chapter 2 experience, we think about, oh, the tongues of fire, and then they started speaking in tongues. But that's not the important part. The important thing is they actually moved out. They ran out into the streets and they started to proclaim the gospel. Verse 11 says, "The people said, 'We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.'" What were they doing? They were boldly and powerfully witnessing and presenting the wonders of God, i.e. the gospel,
to all nations, because that is the purpose. So think about this. What would possess them to run into the street? Okay, so humanly speaking, if right now we're sitting here gathered together, the Holy Spirit moved into the room and tongues of fire rested on all of us, we started speaking in different languages, humanly speaking, we would not naturally run out and start going out into the streets, right? What would you do? Most likely, find a corner and be like, what is happening right now? What would make them go and have this public display of crazy, right? If it wasn't for the boldness to preach the gospel. Because that's the purpose. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to preach the gospel with boldness, right? So, that is the Holy Spirit, and that is the purpose for why he was given. Boldness to be preached, or boldness to preach. So when Jesus promised to give us the Holy Spirit, this is what he said that we would do. Be witnesses of the gospel, the whole gospel. And so when we hunger for more of what the Holy Spirit has for us, that is what we're hungering for, that power. And if we seek the baptism with the Holy Spirit for any other motive, it is disingenuous to what Jesus intended. In other words, if you seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I can speak in tongues, but that's not the main purpose. Or I want to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit so I can give a prophetic word or pray for the sick, then we're missing the point. I love the principle that Jesus gives about seeking first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. I think also applies here. Seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that we are seeking him for his purpose, for boldness to be a witness. And all of these other things are added. It's like when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive all of it, all of him, and we are enabled to do all the things that he's called us to do. But what is our motivation? Now, what is speaking in tongues? What is that all about? This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So we believe, and I'm going to read this directly from our notes because it's part of our statement here. It says, we believe that the gift of tongues is available and desirable for all believers who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the moment that we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to speak in tongues. So we receive the baptism, we have the power in us, we are enabled to. It is available means just that, it's available. And many people are given the ability to speak in tongues when they are baptized, but not always. It doesn't always happen that way. It doesn't necessarily mean it'll be released right away. It's something that still needs to be stepped into. It may be released immediately. Also, it might take some time. This is an individual process for each believer. So you can be baptized with the Holy Spirit in power, and yet still have barriers to seeing that released in your life. And I want to tell you some of these barriers because I had to work through them, significant ones. Some people have doubts. I just don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. I don't know. Is this for me? Maybe it's not for me. I hear about there's a gift of tongues and not everyone has all the same gifts. So maybe it's just not for me. Or is it even real? Like, I don't even know. So we have all of these significant doubts. Some have intellectual hindrances. If I don't get it, it doesn't work. I can't. Because I have to understand why. And so our intellectual hindrances keep us from realizing the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's supernatural. So no wonder our brains are like, I don't get it. I don't like it. It doesn't make sense, right? And we want to control that. Others have fear. Man, this is scary. I don't understand. No, and what do you mean? Wow, she listened to me. Did you hear that? Siri? Man, it happens all the time. My phone, every time I say seriously, then she reacts. But some people have fear about it, right? I don't know. What if I lose control? Like, but that's not the Holy Spirit. It is, everybody can have barriers. And for you, it might look different. It's different for each person. But that's the great thing about the Holy Spirit. He's a person. And he relates to each one of us individually, and he walks with us, and he's gentle. He's not forceful. Holy Spirit doesn't force himself. He invites. Like, he is there, but he's a person. And he relates to us right where we're at. As the Holy Spirit works in each individual, they find that the things they get to be realized and released in their lives as they surrender more and more and more. So we still haven't talked about what's the purpose of tongues. Two. We talk about two. Number one is a prayer language, and the other is a public word. So I'll explain the difference between them. The primary reason for speaking in tongues is to pray, allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us according to the perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit prays through us. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray or how to pray. And the Holy Spirit just enables us to pray in the Spirit. Praying in tongues is not the same as the gift of speaking in a different kind of tongue with the interpretation talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The speaking in tongues as a prayer language is enabling that every single person who is baptized with the Holy Spirit has the ability to do. Right? It's a personal prayer dimension. Paul talks about this in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14. He says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. It's his personal prayer language to God, right? Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit, right? It's the Holy Spirit speaking and praying through us. It's a prayer language. And the baptism with the Holy Spirit gives us a prayer language. When believers pray in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit's enabling to pray. I was telling my kids, it's like praying the perfect prayer, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit speaking to the Spirit of God. And that's the one we're going to focus on today. It is personal. It's beautiful. But I didn't always think that. The other one, and we'll come back to this. The other one is the giving a word in tongues. It's always done with an interpretation. And so if a word of tongues is given, then the Holy Spirit also gives somebody else the interpretation. And it's a message directly from God that needs to be understood. And I can give you an example of it's done well. The church we were at before we came, somebody had a word in tongues, came up, gave the word of tongues, And then the invitation was, okay, so somebody else has the interpretation. But when that word of tongues was given, we didn't understand what was said, but there was something inside. There was this conviction. Some people were moved to tears. And there was just something inside us that said, okay, something's happening in our spirit. And then when the interpretation was given, there was this, like a light bulb came on. Aha. And it was deeply profound. And that was the witness. So it's almost like the word in tongues preps the spirit so that when the interpretation is given, there's this aha, right? But what we're going to focus on today is just that personal prayer language. And so I think it would be helpful for you to hear my story. So I grew up Baptist, right? And tongues was not a thing. Baptism with the Holy Spirit wasn't understood. And then I told you how I met my wife, and she spoke in tongues. And the moment that she did, there was something in me that said, this is different, and I want to know more. And I became hungry. So I began to kind of study and ask the questions, why? We got married, and we were sent to South Africa as missionaries, as Four Square missionaries, and I was still very much entrenched in Baptist. And so we went to the mission field, but before we did, we had to go through this training, and I read this book, which walked through what is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. What is it all about? And so a little bit of what I've already been saying. And I learned that if you just pray and ask Jesus to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you will be. And so I remember I was going through this and praying, but I still had all these barriers. And about a year into the mission field, I was just feeling desperate. I'm like, I just feel like I am out of my league here. And I was, Jesus, I want whatever this is. I don't even understand everything about the Holy Spirit, but I know that I want more. So Jesus baptized me with the Holy Spirit. And then I went to speak in tongues. Nothing happened. And I was like, okay, I missed it, right? Because I had confused the two, right? We were talking about that earlier. I confused baptism with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And so I was like, man, I missed it. And then I was just But I was hungry. I wanted more. And I just found that everywhere I went, I was just talking about Jesus. Like, no matter if I was at the grocery store or whatever, everyone was talking about, I was just like, felt so on fire to preach and to tell people about Jesus. And I was reading the Bible, and things were coming alive to me like never before. I had a hunger like I had never had. I've been in the Bible all my life, reading the Bible, but all of a sudden it was just coming alive, and I was just so excited, and I wanted to share it with everybody. But still, you know, no tongues. And then I don't even know how long later, we went to kind of our sister church, I'll call it that, we were missionaries, so we went from our rural little mud hut into the city, and went to the city church, and the pastor was, they were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was like, yes, yes, finally, I'll get this thing, and he grew up, the pastor grew up Dutch Reform. I thought Baptists were rigid, and then, I'm sorry, if you're Dutch Reform, I'm sorry, but I was like, man, and so he was talking about his journey and all of the barriers, and as he was talking, I was like, yeah, that's me. Oh my goodness, that's me. That's exactly what I went through. And he gets all the way through and he explains what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. That the moment that you pray and ask and receive, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the purpose of it is to preach the gospel. And I'm having these little aha moments in myself. Like, oh yeah, and I even read about that and I got so excited, and he talked about even what it meant to speak in tongues. And so on. And so I was so excited. At the end of the message, he starts, and this is a church of, I don't know how many, 800 to 1,000. So he starts to give the invitation. And I didn't wait for him to even finish. And I ran up on the stage. I was right up there. We were good friends. He'd come and been with us in our village too. And I went, Marius, it's Marius. Marius, that's what I want. And like, there's a whole ministry team at the front that I just ran right past, because like I'm going to the pastor. And so I walked and went right up on the stage, and he's like, "Okay, Tyler." I don't even know if he turned his mic off. We're in our own little world. But what he had pointed out was a couple of things. Number one is earlier in that service, we're sitting there, and God gave me a word, and so I walked up to the associate pastor and I said, "I feel like I have a word for the church. I don't know, could be wrong, but this is what the word is." And the associate pastor's like, "No, that's right on." So during worship, they made time for me to come up to the front, and I shared the prophetic word, and it was confirmed. It was like, yes. And so I'm sitting there talking to Marius, and he said, "So Tyler, do you remember that prophetic word you gave?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." He said, "That was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Did you pray and ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." But I didn't speak in tongues. He's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, forget the tongues. When you prayed, what did you notice?" He's like, "Did you notice a boldness to preach?" I was like, "Yeah. Now that you mention it, like everywhere I was going, I was like, I wanted to talk about Jesus." He's like, okay. "And you know that prophetic word you gave?" He's like, yeah, that was right on. That was from the Holy Spirit. I'm like, "Oh, so why don't I speak in tongues?" He's like, you're confused about this thing. And so he's like, "I want to pray with you. Like, if you want to release that, then we'll pray." So we're sitting there, standing there, and he began to just kind of walk me through and just said, "Hey, so as we're praying here, you have the Holy Spirit. And so just listen. And if you hear like a voice inside you or a little syllable, just let it go. Let it out. Because here's the thing. We don't speak with our brain, right? That's what Paul talks about, that. It's the Holy Spirit. So he's like, listen. He said, you might just hear one syllable. And it might sound silly, but just say it. So I'm like, okay, I can do that. So he starts praying. And sure enough, there was this little like something. And so then my brain kicks in. And it says, "Well, that's weird." Right? And I can't be. It's got to be just me. I'm just making this up. Right? I don't remember what the syllable was. It was years ago. But like, let's just say it was duh. Right? And so I'm saying, duh. That sounds dumb, right? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And so I was, just, and he's like, "I just feel like you're kind of holding back." I'm like, "Oh, no, I'm not holding back. I'm holding back. I'm not saying this in front of you. This is weird, right? If I let this out, what if I'm wrong? I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to make it up." And so I was fighting it, right? And so then afterwards he said, you know what, Tyler, just go home. And he said, just continue to seek and pray and ask. And when you're ready, you're ready. And so I came back and I told him, I'm like, I think I heard a word, but I was not going to stay in front of him. Because I had these barriers. Remember, we talked about those earlier. They're the doubts, the intellectual barriers. There's the fear, right? All of that stuff. So I was just like, I can't. And I had my dad's voice in my ear, the Baptist theology. I don't know. And so I went home and I was frustrated, but I understood something that day that I hope you hear, is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit had happened. I had received it. I had been walking and living the purpose of it. But this aspect of the speaking in tongues didn't quite make sense. So, went home, and I just sought it. But I got to a point where I'm like, Holy Spirit, this is what I want. I want you to release that because I want everything you've got for me. But it's not everything, right? This is not what makes or breaks it. I want everything. I want more power to preach. I just want what you have. And if you want to release this in me, awesome. And I'm just going to kind of wait and just let that be. About a year later, and it was a year later, I remember we were praying, we're going through a situation. I was praying in the same chair that I had prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Same chair, just pouring out my heart in our living room. And I kind of ran out of things to say. I didn't even know how to pray. And as I was praying, all of a sudden, these words came out. And I stopped myself. And I was like, wow, I didn't even try. The Holy Spirit just did that. And it was like this incredible peace. It's like, wow. And then since then, it's been a learning and growing. But what happens is sometimes our brains shut it down. But it's not our minds that are praying, it's our spirit. And when we pray, and now that I've gotten more used to this, when I pray in the spirit, there's this deep sense of connection that I have with God. And there is a knowing, although I can't tell you the knowing, there's a knowing that happens internally. It's so much deeper. And I rely on praying in tongues. I was talking to our kids just yesterday about that. I mean, I am so out of my league in everything in life that I need the Holy Spirit. And there's that connection that comes. Like last week we were praying. You guys probably don't even notice it. Last week, we were sitting here praying for the team. You probably didn't even hear me, but I'm behind them praying in tongues over them. Every time we worship, I worship, except for when I'm on the microphone. We're praying in tongues, singing in tongues, because the Holy Spirit that witnesses to the Spirit of God. So, how do we get that? Well, Jesus is the one who promised that he would send us the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the one who sends the Holy Spirit. So all we have to do is ask him to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that. See, the moment that we ask for salvation, we are saved, right? Yeah. We say, Jesus, come into my heart, make me new, we are saved, mm-hmm. right? The moment that we ask Jesus to baptize with the Holy Spirit, we receive the Holy Spirit. There's no earning it. There's no steps that you got to go through so that you are just right for the Holy Spirit. No, when we ask, we receive. This is why it's not something that's based on how long you've been a Christian, right? It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a minute. If you want, the Holy Spirit is available to you. Or if you've been a Christian for 80 years, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit's available the moment that we ask. And the moment that we receive, we have access to all of what the Holy Spirit has for us. All of the power. Power to be a witness. The prayer language, the ability to pray for the sick and prophetic words, all of it is there. So today, I want to give us an invitation, an opportunity to receive. But what we'll do is I want to walk us through it, everybody, through what that looks like. So first of all, what we do is we ask Jesus. We ask Jesus to baptize us. And so I'm going to share how simple the prayer is, and then we'll actually do this a little bit later, but all it is Jesus, I want all that you have for me. So please baptize me with the Holy Spirit. And then thank you that I have received. And now, I pray that you would release my prayer language. That's it. When we ask, we receive. And so I want to give us an invitation this morning for all of us. And we want to allow and make room just for the Holy Spirit to move. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't weird, right? In fact, the Holy Spirit moves peacefully. And so this morning, as we're kind of walking through all of this, I just want you to be open to the Holy Spirit. And also this morning, I want to invite you that if you are someone who has been released in your prayer language, then as we pray for that in a few minutes, for the release of prayer language, that you can pray in your prayer language. We're not talking loud and crazy and, right? Just a whisper. But just pray in your prayer language, just to invite the Holy Spirit in. So usually when we do invitations, we say, okay, you know, we invite you to come and slide over to one of these sides over here. A, where no one can see you, right? Where you're not on the video monitor because, you know, you don't want to be on YouTube or whatever. But we're not going to do that. Why? Because it's about boldness. And I believe that there's something very profound in taking a physical step of boldness. And so if you're someone here this morning who says, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I want to receive all of that, then I want to invite you to stand where you are. So right where you are, and you can do that right now, right where you are, just stand, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to lead you in the same prayer that we just did a second ago about just asking that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And at the end of that invitation, there is the invitation, the ask for that you would release your spiritual language. And when that comes, I just want you to listen and see if something, you hear a voice or hear a thing, and if you do a kind of a word or a syllable, and just to be bold, to preach that out. But first, let's just pray together. So repeat these after me. Say, Jesus, I want all that you have for me. Please baptize me with the Holy Spirit. I receive the Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling me. Now I ask that you release my prayer language. And we're just going to make room now. Just listen. If you hear a syllable, just trust that the Holy Spirit wants to loose your tongue to pray. And if you're here in the room and you have your prayer language, just be able to feel free to speak that out. I'm going to turn off my mic and I'm going to pray. Just going to give it a moment.